Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to Madison, where a lot of you are listening from, there was a near tragedy on Sunday. Two slabs fell from the third floor of Van Hise Hall. Fortunately, it was Sunday morning, no one was there. They were 10 feet by 6 feet, concrete slabs. They fell on Sunday, the building entrance. I'll tell you what, if they had fallen on students there, if that had been Monday morning, it would have killed everybody that it hit. We had a tragedy like that in Milwaukee at a parking structure just across from the art museum. This is years ago. Family is walking out, and they had a teenage boy with them who was a friend of their son's. And a multi-ton concrete slab fell on them and crushed them. You cannot have this. The Republican Party has interfered with funding for the UW system, for construction, for even maintenance for a long time. Because they are right-wing. They think that universities are left-wing, and they're doing everything they can to destroy our universities, underfund them, and make them essentially training schools for Wisconsin industry, as they describe it. They have absolutely no vision, absolutely no knowledge of growth or what it means to be a modern state. But here it's coming down to personal safety. So Governor Evers has stepped in, and he's going to have the site secured. He's going to have it repaired. But there are plenty of buildings around the state. There are plenty of buildings elsewhere at UW-Madison and UW-Milwaukee and UW-Stevens Point and Eau Claire and Green Bay and Oshkosh, lacrosse, all over the state. As long as you have a Republican legislature who will not fund basic things in our state university system because of antipathy, hatred against universities, and because they want an insular state where education is directed towards essentially job training, you're going to have this. Continue to vote for Republicans is what you're going to have. And as a gerrymandered state, that's what's occurring. Gerrymander has to go. Go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, and that other tragedy you spoke of had Walker's fingerprints all over it, too, in Milwaukee. The reason I called, though, is this nonsense with Trump over the weekend again. I mean, when's the Republican Party going to figure this out, man? I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to one more time say it. This guy, he lost the midterms, lost the Senate, lost his election by over 7 million votes, lost when he campaigned for two people in Georgia, both seats, and also in his hand-picked court, he's getting his head handed to him court system. What does he have to offer them besides grief? I don't get it. I never will get this.
Yeah, you're right, Dick. And you know something? I'll tell you what the polls show. The polls show that 60% of Republicans want him to stay active, and that depending on the poll in the Republican Party, and depending on the poll, anywhere from 55 to 60% want him to be their nominee. Even after the January 6th insurrection, they want him to be their nominee. Even after Brian Sicknick was killed, that another officer with his eye poked out, another one stabbed at the pole, two others brain damaged by being beaten with lead pipes, others thrown down the stairs and beaten up, they want him as their nominee. Even after he questioned a democratically run election that he lost, and after multiple recounts was shown to have lost, they want him as their nominee. And that's 60% of the Republican Party. Now, 74 million people voted for him. 81 million voted for Biden. But 74 million voted for Trump, although that was before the January 6th insurrection. And if you roughly say 60% of them still want him, that's 42 million people still want him. 42 million Americans. These are not bad people. These are our friends, people we know that we work with, serve in the military with, some family members. They're not necessarily irrational. So why are they doing it? What is it about his message? It's not him personally. What is it about his message? And obviously that's something that we've got to dwell on. But you're right. You're right. He lost. He lost the last midterms. He lost the election. He's generally a buffoon under criminal investigation in three states. What is his draw? And it is the message. And the message is we're a divided country, and a lot of it is racially oriented as the complexion of the country. And I say that intentionally. In other words, the demographics in the country and the racial makeup of the country changes. That's what's happening. Thanks for calling, Dick. We're going back to the lines. Ross of Lake Mills, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Ross?
Hi, Matt. I'm thinking about the Iran situation and how similar it was with North Korea. We put sanctions on North Korea and basically said that there's no way they're going to get the nuclear weapons or bombs, but inevitably they did. And I don't see how we're going to be able to stop Iran from acquiring them either, other than going to war and bombing the sites, because I see the similarities the same. You know, both were told that Korean Peninsula, we will not have nuclear weapons, and they're there now. And now, same with Iran. I don't see how we can stop them. And if you can give me some insight on how you think that's going to stop, because I've listened to what you said, and I just don't see it happening.
You know, Russ, that's an excellent question. And not only that, you hit the nail on the head in one of the key foreign policy dilemmas, the modern foreign policy dilemmas, because Iran can't do much other than cause consternation and start a war among superpowers. That's what we don't want. Here's the difference between North Korea and Iran. North Korea, their capital is something like 40 miles from the border of South Korea. And they are also have a land border with China. Now, if we went in and bombed their sites and bombed their capital city, we could take out their nuclear capability. But they would have time to at least launch one strike against Seoul, South Korea, with great loss of life. And the Chinese, now, you know, people put up with a lot, but if a hostile power to them bomb somebody they have a land border with, that puts a lot of pressure on the Chinese to retaliate. As if the Chinese came in and bombed Mexico, we have a land border with Mexico, that's something that would be seen as a provocation in the United States, or if they bomb Canada. So here's what I think we have to do. First of all, the reason our sanctions don't work against North Korea is because China is evading them. China, Xi, the president of China, held a video opportunity, and it wasn't Zoom either. It was face-to-face with the Kim Jong-un of North Korea, and said they were friends and working together. If China evades our sanctions, they can supply North Korea with everything they need, fuel, food, and everything else. That's number one. Number two, North Korea knows that it's only because of its fortuitous location right on the border of South Korea and right on the border of China that constrains our bombing them. We don't want to bomb them. They're all good people. It's they have a bad government. The Hermit Kingdom, Communist Kingdom, they have a bad government. I heard a lecture from a UW expert, a professor in North Korea, and he said some astonishing things, and I'll give it to you very quick.
All right.
There are three segments of society there. There's the upper crust that everybody waits on. There's the middle that's sort of in the middle. And then there's the bottom, who are people who are descendants of prior, you know, people who had been politically marginalized and otherwise, and they act sort of like glorified slaves. But everybody seems somewhat content. Why do I say that? Because 40% of people who defect from North Korea and leave, 40% return. 40% return. How is that possible? Well, whatever the pathology is over there, there has always got to be two things in the minds of the Chinese. One is, we will not tolerate an attack on the United States, South Korea, or anyone else. If they do that, we will eliminate their capital city, not just their nuclear site. And it will be in response to a provocation. And China had better understand that. We're not going to do it preemptively. We respect them enough for that. But they, so I have a feeling that China spends a lot of time with them off the record. I do not think that Kim Jong-un is stupid enough to launch anything against the wishes of the Chinese. And the Chinese right now, I think, are very conservative on that. Iran is a different story. Iran is sort of off by itself. The problem is Iran is an ally of Russia right now in Syria. And the you have to be somewhat careful about bombing Iran, not advocating bombing Iran. The Iranian people are good people. We don't want that. But they can't be permitted to have nuclear weapons. And I think what's going to happen is if it ever came to the point where they had them and were about to deploy them, Israel would bomb them. They'd have no choice. Israel is a small country.
Then you're going to have a war then.
Yeah. Well, the point is that we'd have war if Iran launched a nuclear weapon, too. So I think that Biden is correct in using diplomacy. Diplomacy is simply an extension of war by other means. War is an extension of diplomacy by other means. That's all it is. And so that is the objective. No war. That is the objective. Human beings are equal the world over. But they occasionally get criminal and deranged leadership. And how to break that without war? That is the question. So I think it can be done with Iran. We are going back and we have these talks and they can woof all they want, but in private, they're going to be given some very, very hard deadlines. I mean, frankly, and if they continue to develop a nuclear weapon, there are going to be regime changes there. There are going to be a lot of things there. They have domestic problems. These sanctions are hurting them. They're hurting them badly. And, you know, it's not a pleasant way to do it, but they do have Hezbollah operating in Lebanon. They've infiltrated Syria. They have in Yemen, they are on the Houthi side. They bomb Saudi Arabia. What we're trying to do is contain that area. Terrible hatreds between Sunni and Shiite. We don't want to get involved in that, but we cannot permit them to develop a nuclear weapon that can hit the Mediterranean, our ships, hit Rome and hit France and Italy, hit Israel and Jordan, Saudi Arabia. We can't have that. We simply cannot have that. Excellent question, Russ. Thanks for calling in. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.